Amen.
Let's turn our Bibles tonight. Daniel chapter number 3. Thank you for being here this morning. We thank our Savior for His grace and His presence we've already felt here this morning. We're thankful that we live in America, home of the free, home of the brave. You know, when I go to a sporting event or I go to a ball game and they start singing the national anthem, for some reason, Brother Roger, I still get goosebumps. But from God's point of view, I don't know if He has the same thought of America as we do. I believe He cares more about His children than the country corporately. I think we find that in our text this morning in Daniel chapter 3. He's been good to us. He's graced us. But corporately as America, we're in bad shape. But I'm glad there's still a remnant that serve Him, that still want to see a move of God, that still honor the one that's worthy. Daniel chapter 3. We know Daniel's the writer of this great book. He's well known. We know more about Daniel the prophet than any other prophet in our Bible. Daniel gives us, and he gave us in a personal account of his life from the time that he was carried into Babylonian captivity till the time of King Cyrus that he allowed and encouraged the children to go back to Jerusalem. Daniel's life, and we know Daniel's ministry, it spans the entire 70 years that they were in captivity. At the beginning of chapter number 1 in the book of Daniel, we know that Daniel was a young teen. He was a young boy, a young man. And we come to the end of the book of Daniel, we know he's probably 80 or more years of age. I think Daniel was probably one of the most faithful men of God we read about in our Bible. But my opinion of Daniel and your opinion of Daniel does not carry much weight. It's what God thinks of Daniel. You know, and it's not my opinion of America, your opinion of America. It's not our politics or our government that really I think impresses and moves God. It's what He thinks of America is all that matters. Listen to what God thinks of Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. He says, "O Daniel, a man greatly beloved." You know, that's my desire this morning, that God sees me and sees that's my child, one that I greatly love, one that loves me with all his heart, with all his mind, and with all his soul. That's all that matters, is what God thinks of us. Daniel, he was a man of purpose. I was thinking about Daniel, how he was determined that he would not defile himself with this pagan king or this pagan country. He wouldn't defile himself by sin or anything that would hinder his relationship of God. He was a man of purpose. And my, how we need some young people this morning. We need some elder people, mature Christians alike, to be a purpose-filled and purpose-driven and settle in their heart that they will not defile themselves with the things of this world. Not only was Daniel a man of purpose, but he was a man of prayer. Everything in Daniel's life, every decision, every direction was paved with prayer. We need some prayer warriors, let me say this morning. We need some prayer warriors that can get a hold of God for our country, for our young people, for our Baptist churches across this land. We need some prayer warriors. But not only was he a man of purpose, he was a man of prayer, but I believe Daniel was a man of prophecy. This whole book was about prophecy. We see prophecy from chapter 1 to chapter 10, or to the end of chapter 10. And we notice in our text this morning, chapter 3, it's a story. It's a story that's a real, a historical event. It's a true story. But yet, chapter 3 is a picture of prophecy as well. You can study chapter 3, and as you read chapter 3, we see it's a picture of the time we call the Great Tribulation. We know this fiery furnace, and this is a story this morning that I no doubt you've all heard, you're familiar with. We teach it to our children from the time that they can hear and understand God's word. But chapter 3, it's a picture of the great tribulation, the fiery furnace that represents what God, the judgment, the suffering that the tribulation, the great tribulation is going to bring. King Nebuchadnezzar, we know that he represents the beast out of the sea, this Antichrist, this one, the last ruler that this world will know. We know these three Hebrew children, they represent the remnant that will be remaining, the remnant that God will protect, that remnant that God will preserve during the tribulation period. We know Daniel. If you study the book of Daniel in chapter 3, he's never mentioned. He's the writer of the book, but his name is never mentioned in chapter 3. You say, well, preacher, where was Daniel? Well, that begins me to think, where's the church going to be during the tribulation? You see, Daniel was sitting at the king's gate. And I just want to say this morning, I'm thankful God will catch us, or he'll pull us out. He'll rapture us home before we ever face these fiery trials. It represents Daniel being raptured or removed from the great tribulation. Daniel was a man of purpose. Daniel was a man of prayer. And I see Daniel was a man of prophecy. But this morning I want to read this text and look at this text historical. I want to look at it factual. I want to look at it literal. And Daniel, we see, is not mentioned, but his three friends are mentioned in this text. His three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're well familiar with these three boys. They haven't bowed to the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. They haven't worshipped any other god than the Jesus Christ, the righteous. And they're here and they're facing one of the greatest trials that they'll ever face. I want to say tonight, America is in bad shape. And we may face some great trials. We may face some fiery furnaces. And we may face some raging storms. But there's one this morning that can help us. There's one this morning that can stand with us and help us and guide us. I want to preach on the thought this morning, a friend in the fire. There's a friend we notice in our text that's in this fire. I notice, number one, this unlimited potential. Look at our text in verse number 3, or chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it wont to be heated. I see, number one, this friend has unlimited potential. Notice he says, he commanded, he demanded that they, this king, pagan king, demanded that they would heat the furnace 7 times more than normal. Why would this king demand? Why would he command such a thing, to increase the intensity, to stoke the fire, to heat the furnace 7 times more than normal? I believe it was more than just his anger. It said he was full of fury. I believe it was more than his uncontrollable temper. I believe it was more than just these boys being upset that they would not bow down and worship him. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar knew something that many of us, many of his children, so many times Fletcher First Baptist Church fails to realize. He realized that this God they served had unlimited potential. This king, he had already been encountered with the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see, he had spent some sleepless nights. The Bible said he was troubled. He was upset that this dream that all of his wise men and all of the Chaldeans and all the soothsayers could not tell him or interpret. He was upset. But there was one young man full of the Holy Ghost, one young man that favored God, one young man that placed his trust in God, filled with the Spirit of God. This young man found favor with the king. This young man, he persuaded all of Babylon. And we see this young man was full of the Holy Ghost. And I want to say this morning, God still needs some young people. He needs some young ladies, some young men to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't ever let anyone say that you can't serve God. Don't ever let anyone say that you're too young or you're not old enough. Don't ever let anyone despise your youth. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. How are we going to be an example, young people, to this church, to your friends, to a lost and dying world? Paul told Timothy, in word. It's the things we say. It's controlling our tongue. He said, do it in conversation. That's your actions. That's your walk. That's your daily activities. He said, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Just be a good, pure, live a sinless life for Jesus Christ the righteous. Be an example. Daniel was an example. He tells King Nebuchadnezzar. He says, King, and the King Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 2, verse 47, he says, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and the revealer of dreams. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar had been acquainted with the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He knew something about this God. He said, it's true. This one that you're serving, he is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and the revealer of all dreams. He was acquainted with him. And he says here, he said, this God that they're serving, I have to heat it up. I have to stoke the fire. I have to increase the intensity because there's something about this God that has unlimited potential. He knew that their God was capable. He knew their God had the ability and the capability to help them. So you say, preacher, this morning, why is it that Satan seems to attack us, attack our churches, and attack our families harder and harder and harder? Why is it that the storms seem to rage stronger and stronger and stronger? Why is it, young people, the temptations and the peer pressures are greater and greater and greater? Why is it that these fiery trials we face burn hotter and hotter and hotter? I believe it's related to the unlimited potential of Jesus Christ. You see, the normal operating temperature of this fire, it would have killed those boys instantly. The normal operating temperature would have consumed them. But there was one phrase. There was one phrase that shook Nebuchadnezzar. There was one saying that rattled his cage and made him tremble and that made him think of God's unlimited potential. Look at me, if you will, in verse number 16. The Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They're saying, King, we're not here to do you harm. King, we're not here to cause trouble. We're not trying to undermine your power, your rule, or your authority. They said in verse number 17, but if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. He said, if it be so, our God is able. I believe this shook Nebuchadnezzar. I believe this got Nebuchadnezzar's attention. And he said, heat that fire, stoke that furnace, turn up the heat. Not two, not three, not four, not five or six times, but seven times the more. All because Jesus Christ has unlimited potential to deliver us from this fiery furnace. The testimony of these three Hebrew boys, their words, their life, they're an example of God's unlimited potential. As we look around this congregation this morning, we see God's unlimited potential. There's many of you families that I've spoke to, prayed for, cried with, that when there was no way, God made a way. When there was no way out, when that seemed like there was no hope, the hope of all glory came coming through. We see the darkness of all nights. When everything was dark and there was no light, this Son of Righteousness came shining on the scene. Y'all, want to tell you this morning and encourage you this morning and tell America, God still has unlimited potential. He can help us one more time. Heat it up. seven times more. Heat it up, hotter and hotter and hotter. Fire it up, because Jesus Christ has unlimited potential. That is number two. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, and he commanded the most mighty men. He commanded the most mighty men. Why would King Nebuchadnezzar get the most mighty men? The men of great strength, of great power, of great influence of all the kingdom. I think because not only he knew about his unlimited potential, but he knew about this God's unmatched power. The king just didn't say get some strong men. He didn't say just get some rugged, tough men. He didn't say just get some men of ordinary strength. But the Bible says the most mighty, the most greatest of all the land, the greatest in the kingdom, the mightiest of all. Why would he need muscle-bound, strength-inhibited men just to throw a few teenage boys in a fire? Why would he need these great men just to push Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into a fire? Why would he need such great men? I believe he knew something that we fail to realize, that Jesus has unmatched power. He needed some mighty men. If the fire didn't get them, we needed some mighty men to make sure they're bound. Make sure they're trapped and they're held. Satan and all of this world and all of our foes and sin is very, very powerful. They'll get a hold of us. They'll put us in a stranglehold. They'll bind us. But I want to say this morning, I'm glad I'm fighting a fixed fight. I'm glad I'm on the side of one that's reigning, that's the champion of all time. I'm glad I'm on the side of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 22. The Bible says, the end part of that verse in verse 22, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Pastor, I wrote my notes last night. The best the world has, the most it can offer, and the greatest the world can give is burn up way before you and I even go into the fire. These mighty men, the best of all the kingdom, had perished off the scene before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even stepped into the fire. I want to say that's some mighty power. I come to tell Fletcher First Baptist Church this morning, it's going to get hotter. I've come to tell our youth that temperature's going to raise. I'm here to tell you this morning that peer pressure and the things we face is going to get worse and worse and worse. But no matter what Satan places in front of us, no matter the storms we face, there's a God we serve that has unmatched power. I was sitting there thinking this morning, looking around this congregation, there's family after family after family that is full of trouble. You're full of heartache. You're full of sorrow. And you're full of hurt and brokenness. But you're in church on a Sunday morning full of joy. That's power. That's the power of God. That you can lift up your hands and lift up your voice and thank the God of all heaven for being good to you. America's in a bad shape. Sin on every hand. We have people saying that what God calls a wrong, they're saying's right. But he still has the power to deliver us from that. You say, preacher, why would a loving God, this God that gave his life for us, that loves us, that cares for us, that protects us, that guides us, why would he even allow these boys to face this fire? Notice verse 23. It says, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down. God, when he sends the fire, and he didn't send or throw these boys in the fire to burn them, but he threw them in the fire to bow them. God does not send the fire our way to consume us, but he sends the fire to us so he can communicate with us. He does not send the fire to destroy you and I, but we see he sends this fire to deliver them. This fire, it does not weaken them, but praise God, this fire enabled Jesus Christ to walk with them. These most mighty men, full of power, full of strength, full of might, full of the greatest of all the land, they were overtaken by the heat. But there's a few boys that's bowed down on their knees asking God for help. They're seeking. They're praying to God. They're worshiping God. They're thanking God for his unmatched power. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28, I believe it's 18 or 28, I'm not sure. And he's telling us this morning, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I think it would benefit us as a church congregation, as individuals this morning, if we had stopped looking at the fierceness of the fire, if we had stopped worrying about the strength of the storm, if we had stopped worrying about all the other things we face and just start pondering on the unmatched power of Jesus Christ. I noticed in our text, sometimes this power is not immediate, but it's evident. Notice these boys. They may have not have seen what everybody else saw. They were trusting God. They had placed their faith in God. They knew their God was capable. They wanted to see the power of God. But the very thing that startled, the very thing that rattled King Nebuchadnezzar, the very thing that encourages us this morning and blesses us this morning, these boys may have never even seen. Verse 25. The Bible says, he answered as King Nebuchadnezzar and said, lo, not the Chaldeans. He's saying, lo, not all my counselors and all my other counsel and friends. But he says, lo, I see. Our text this morning, it does not indicate, it does not insinuate that these boys ever saw Jesus Christ walking in the fire with them. We may not see him. They may not have seen him. But I want to say nonetheless, they sure experienced him. He was there. They may have never seen him, but they experienced him. This same God that came to these three boys came to me one day in the form of the sweet Holy Ghost. I did not see him. I could not place my eyes upon him. I could not reach out and grasp him. He was not tangible, nor was he concrete. But I want to say, when I responded to the unmatched power of this one, I've been experiencing his grace. I've been experiencing his power for the last 18 years of my life. The unmatched power of God. I just want to say this morning, I thank God I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. For a long time I traveled down a long dusty road. My heart was so heavy in sin I sank low. But when I heard about Jesus, what that wonderful hour, I'm so glad I found out, here it is, that he could bring me out through his saving, unmatched power. Thank God I'm free, free, free. He wants to save you this morning in your sins. He wants to save you this morning in that fire or that storm you're facing. Why don't you let him this morning? Why don't you come to him this morning? You can understand something that King Nebuchadnezzar, a lost king, could understand. Understand that Jesus Christ has unlimited potential in your life. You can understand that Jesus Christ will have unmatched power in your life. But I want to see, thirdly, not only did King say heated up seven times more, because this one we're dealing with just might show his unlimited potential. I want to say that not only did he say get the strongest, the most mighty, the most powerful men we have in the kingdom, because he has unmatched power. I want to say thirdly, he told them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experiences an unconditional partnership. verse 25. We've already read it. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We ought to lift our voices this morning and lift our hands in praise that we have an unconditional partner that'll never leave us nor forsake us. You see, our partnership to this King, this God I'm speaking of this morning, was conditional. See, we loved Him. We were drawn to Him. We were pulled to Him. Why? Because He first loved us. But this partnership I'm speaking of is unconditional. I'm speaking of one this morning that's not limited by your conditions. He's not limited by your position. He's not limited by your age. He's not limited in your past, in your failures, or your sins or mistakes. This God I'm speaking of will be an unconditional partner in your life. These boys, I believe, were approximately 900 miles from Jerusalem, the place where they would have decided to serve God, the place where the center of worship and the center of their life would be around. They're 900 miles from the place they needed to be. Yet, in a faraway land, in front of an ungodly king, there was a partner that did not leave them. So what does this partner do? Verse 25, he says, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of a fire, and they have no hope. What started out as being hot, the Bible says there's no hurt. What began as them boys being bound, now it says they're loose. What began as them being bowed down and fell down in the midst, now it says they're walking. Jesus wants to do the same thing for us this morning. Bound in sin, down in the miry pits of mistakes and failures, hurt because of the trials of life, the death of loved ones. He's unlimited potential. He has unmatched power, but we see here he'll be an unconditional partner. They were living in Babylon. They were amongst the other gods. They were amongst the other believers just like we are. But this partner is guiding them in the fire in a dark land. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children alone. Sometimes in the valley, the darkness of night, God leads His dear children alone. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children alone. But through grace we can conquer and defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children alone. How's He going to do it? Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives this unconditional partner, Jesus Christ. He'll give us a song in the night season and all the day long. Why don't you let Him partner with you this morning? Why don't you let Him come and be your God? Call upon His name. Why this morning as you're walking through that storm, as America's going through the darkest time she's ever went through, Jesus Christ cannot come to a corporate America that's sinful, but He can come to His remnant. He can come to you and I and lead us alone. Heat it up, Nebuchadnezzar says, because Jesus has unlimited potential. You better get the strongest of might we have, because Jesus Christ has unmatched power. And I want to say this morning, lifting my hands and my voice in thanks, I'm thankful He's an unconditional. Let us stand this morning. Misty, Jason, Natalie, do you have a song? If not, you can just play whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Everyone bowed heads.